My name is Pastor Ryan Kimmel. I oversee the family ministries here at Peace Church. The section of scripture that the Heiser family just read recounts the Ark of the Covenant, returning to Jerusalem. And this is a somewhat of a rendering of what the Ark probably looked like. Now, functionally, the Ark of the Covenant was a box. It was designed by God himself, and he gave the instructions to Moses, which we'll look at in a few moments. The cover of the Ark was called the mercy seat. And as you see, there's two angels called cherubim that were to face each other. And God's presence would reside between those angels on the mercy seat. Inside of the Ark of the Covenant were the Ten Commandments that were kept. Now, at this point in the history of Israel that we just read, 1 Chronicles 16, the Ark had been recovered. It was stolen during battle, but it was returned. And that was 20 years ago. So for 20 years, the Ark was outside of the geographical and spiritual center of Israel. And as we said, more than a box, the Ark of the Covenant was to symbolize for the nation of Israel the very presence of God with him among them. Exodus 25, 22, at the end of the instructions of how to build this, God says, "There I will meet with you. And from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim that are on the Ark of the Testimony, I will speak with you." This is God's presence saying, "I am with my people." This is how precious this thing was that symbolized that. And so King David, because he wanted to restore God's presence to the people, he called for the Ark to be returned to its rightful place at the center of the people. For a generation, the Ark was outside the center of God's people, both geographically and spiritually. And so David calls for it to be returned to the center of Jerusalem. And for it, after a generation of it being gone, God's presence was returning to the people. And we see David welcome the Ark back with great thanksgiving and a huge party and a great amount of praise. The presence of God had returned. And David was relishing in that fact. And again, this wasn't just the people of Jerusalem, the city of David. David had called for all of Israel across abroad in the cities, distant lands, all of Israel to return. And so David then essentially kind of throws the first Thanksgiving and funds it. He gives to everyone, man and woman, Thanksgiving offerings so that we could be thankful, so that they could be thankful for God. He had returned. And what was David's response? Then on that day, David first appointed that thanksgiving be sung to the Lord. So for your time of reflection for this Thanksgiving Eve, and as you think about celebrating Thanksgiving tomorrow, there's three themes from this passage that I want to share with you briefly. Thanksgiving means paying forward. Thanksgiving means giving praise. And thanksgiving means sharing testimony. The first one, thanksgiving means paying forward. King David does it right. Verse 2 says that he blessed the people in the name of the Lord and distributed to all Israel, both men and women, to each a loaf of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins. He gives them cornbread, steak, and a cake for dessert. When you think about the feast that you're going to have tomorrow, think about what David did. He was thankful to the Lord, but he didn't just say thanks. He paid it forward to the entire nation, not just the city of Jerusalem, to everyone, so that they all could partake in this thanksgiving. Now, paying forward can be small things. It can be significant things. But it's something that we do as the people of God. Are you thankful to the Lord? If you are, say amen. So we don't just say thanksgiving. We don't say thank you. We just don't say I'm grateful. We do something with it. Christians, we are to pay it forward, small or significant. For instance, the other day, it was raining, and I was going to bring my son, Jedediah, who's 2, into Aldi's. Anyone ever shop at Aldi's? Okay, I'm not promoting it. I'm just saying it's good prices. But they make you pay for your grocery cart. Do you know that? You gotta stick a quarter in, and then you get a grocery cart, and you do your shopping, but then at the end of your shopping, you push the cart back in, it gives you your quarter back, right? You guys know what I'm talking about? Give me a head nod. Do you know there's like this unspoken, like, you know, expectation? If someone gives you their cart, you're supposed to give them a quarter. It's just kind of like this unsaid thing among Aldi shoppers, right? And then you get the quarter back when you return it. Well, I was walking in with my son, Jed, who was sleeping. My family was already in the store because I had dropped them off. And he was asleep. So he's my two-year-old, and he's quite beefy for a two-year-old. And so I'm like kind of running in, and it's raining. And this wonderful woman walks out with an empty cart. And she says, "Here, take my cart." And I said, the proper Aldi shopper response, "I don't have a quarter." And she said, "That's okay, just take it. And what did I say back? "Thank you." But because I was thinking about this message and paying it forward, my flesh said, when that woman gave me the cart, I said, "I got your cart and your quarter." But then I realized I got to pay it forward. So on my way out, as someone was walking in, I said, "Take the cart." They said the same thing back. "I don't have a quarter." I said, "It's okay. Be blessed." Now, that's just a small thing, but it's one of those things we just have to constantly do, constantly be mindful to pay it forward. As you walked in, there is a chance for you to maybe give something a little bit more significant than a quarter as you think about paying it forward. Kennedy, can you bring me that bag for me, please? Thank you, sweetheart. As you walked in, you saw that we are doing a food drive as a church, and we had these bags as you walked in from that entrance. And what we're asking Peace Church to do is grab a bag and fill it up. We've got the items listed here that are most needed for food pantry and for hand-to-hand. And we're asking you to fill these up and bring them back on, I believe it's December 7th. And it's our way as a church to pay it forward. So I'm praying that you would do that with me this season. Just one bag filled with items that that the community needs. And as a church, we can say thank you to God in a real, tangible way. Thanksgiving means paying forward. Thanksgiving also means giving praise. Let me ask you a question. When the meal is served tomorrow, what will the blessing be like for you and your family? What will be the time of grace, the prayer? Because I think for some of us, we like to get out of doing that, especially in a large setting. So what we do is we'll let the kids say the prayer. And then we say, you know, like little Georgia, who's cute as can be, in her cute little voice, say something like, "Dear Lord, thank you for the cornbread." And everyone says, oh, that's so sweet. And the dad says, "Great, thanks, let's eat." And I think about that opportunity as a family to give praise. Is that how King David responded? Did he gather the entire nation of Israel together? And did he say, "God is great, God is good, let us thank him for our food. Amen, let's eat." Absolutely not. In fact, he stopped and he said, and the passage says, "Then David appointed ministers to be before the ark of the Lord to invoke, to thank, and to praise the Lord, the God of Israel. So that on that day, David first appointed that thanksgiving be sung to the Lord." And then David, as he does, he writes a song that begins, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name." Yes, let the kids say prayers. Yes, let them say praise. They need to. But I'm calling on the men of the house or the leaders of the home. Don't miss that opportunity to corporately express and lead your family into a real time of thanksgiving. Because let's be honest, we're going to eat more food tomorrow than most of the world will eat over the next month. And I'm not saying that to guilt you. I'm saying that to drive you to gratitude, to not to waste that opportunity to say, "Lord, thank you for this. You are good." And to give praise. Thanksgiving is giving praise, but it's also sharing testimony. Let's say these words together from our passage. Say these with me, would you? "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call his name. Make known his deeds among the people. sing to him.
Sing praises to him. Tell of all his
wonders. Love that. Let's look at that for a moment. David's song of thanksgiving is a testimony for all of the world to hear and for Israel to sing to remind themselves of how wonderful God is. Make known his deeds. Tell of all his wondrous works. When we give thanks, we are reminding ourselves of our great God, but we're also showing the world how good God is. I love how our passage ends. Verses 11 and 12. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and his judgments. I'll read verse 11 again. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. The truth is, we don't need the Ark of the Covenant to remind us that God is with us. We're going to celebrate God with us in a few weeks at Christmas, aren't we? God is with us. We know this because of Christ. Christ coming. And dying on the cross for our sins. Perfectly showing God's love. Perfectly showing God's mercy. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he's uttered. Thanksgiving is, by nature, responsive. It's retroactive, as it were. We give thanks for what's already been done. Even when we say to someone, hey, thanks in advance, our thanks is contingent upon the completion of said act, right? And here's the good news, and say amen if you believe this. God's already done it. When we say thank you, we're saying thank you for a God who has already acted on our behalf. He sent his son to die for our sins. He sent his son to be Emmanuel, God with us. We're thankful for what he's already done, creating us, being patient with us, saving us, being present with us. This Thanksgiving, let's celebrate that our God is not just some distant deity, but he's the God who is with us, the God who is present with us. Be reminded of how much Israel and King David rejoiced when God's presence returned to them. We have that now because of Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Thanksgiving is sharing testimony. What we're going to do right now, Peace Church, is we're going to have a time to share testimony. You see up here, we've got this wonderful display that's been made. And you see it says give and then thanks. The word thanks, each of those letters are on a white canvas. And that blue is not paint. That blue is painter's tape. And we're going to take these letters off and we're going to put them at these tables down here in the front of the worship center. And we're going to invite you to come and to write. There's Sharpies up here. Write what you are thankful for. We're asking you to stay within the white because we're going to take the blue tape off so that what's left is thanks, is our thanks. And then we're going to put those back up here, and we're going to set it up over in that corner for you to see come Sunday, prayerfully, that you join us for worship. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray. And then while I'm praying, the Heiser family is going to come and take the letters and put them at the tables. And when I'm done saying the prayer, when I say amen, I invite you to show your gratitude and your thankfulness and come and write what you're thankful for. Let's pray. Father God, we say thank you. And Lord, we want to be a people who don't just say it. We want to be a people who show it. Father, I pray that the people of Peace Church who are gathered here tonight would be a people who pay it forward when we think about Thanksgiving. That we'd be people who give praise. Father, again, I pray for the blessing tomorrow over the Thanksgiving meal, that it is real and rich and heartfelt. And it is a testimony because you call us, God, to share our testimony as an act of thanksgiving. So Lord, as we as a church, we write now our thanksgiving, Father. We do say these things because we are thankful that you are great and that you are good. And we give you now this time of response. Oh, holy God, who's loved us so much. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.